Father, we ask your blessing on the word as we prepare to get into it. God, teach us the things you want us to learn through this parable of the talents. And Father, I just ask for your blessing on it, your anointing, and God, that you would be glorified in and through it. We love you, Lord, and we commit this time now in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at the parable of the talents. If you guys want to follow along, it's Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. And I am reading out of the New King James Version. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his own ability." Notice that. "And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' And his Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' And his Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" Notice they both received the same thing from the Lord. "Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what's yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So Jesus tells of a man who's going on a journey. He calls 3 of his servants. He gives them money to be used while he's gone. He gives 5 talents to the first, 2 talents to the second, and 1 talent to the third. Now, in Palestine, a talent wasn't a coin. It was a measure of weight. Coins would be copper, silver, gold. I mean, it's impossible to calculate how valuable the talents were, but you know what? We could say this much. Each was a large amount. Think about this. If a talent was 6,000 denarii, it would be taken a worker 20 years to earn that much money. So we're possibly looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars. But, you know, I want to make a point here. The amount isn't important, nor is the fact the parable is about money. Money is one thing God entrusts to us, and if you guys would agree with me, we often misuse it. But the same is true of many other things God gives to us. So the story is about waiting for Christ's return and being ready for it. I mean, we saw this in the 10 virgins. It's not a passive matter. We're to be working faithfully and energetically for Jesus while we are here in this life as we get ready for the next. The man has been waiting for this moment, and he's pleased at having done well. The master says, "Well done." I mean, it's the same with the servant who was given 2 talents. He says the same thing and receives an identical word of commendation. Notice that. God knows if we can handle a lot or if we can only handle 1 or 2 things. But we will receive the same commendation because of our ability and what we can handle. But by contrast, we hear the angry, self-justifying, accusing tone of the servant who hid the master's talent in the ground. Now, of course, the accusation wasn't true. I mean, the master wasn't a hard man. He was generous. He was generous in giving his servants the wealth to work with. But this man hated him, the one who hid his talent in the ground. I mean, we see his contempt as he resentfully throws his talent on the table and says, "Here is what belongs to you." It was returned exactly as the master had given it. In response, the master condemns him for his wickedness and for being lazy. Wicked because he accused his master unjustly. Lazy because he didn't faithfully use what had been given to him. That's an eye-opener. The master then gives the talent to the one who has 10. Now, why would he do that? Why would he take the one from the guy that got 1 that didn't use it and give it to the guy with the most and not the guy with 5? Here's the principle. Everyone who has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Jesus then has this lazy servant cast out into utter darkness. I mean, the situation can't get any worse. To have done nothing is proof we don't love Jesus. It's proof that we don't belong to him. It's proof that we don't share in his kingdom. It's proof that we are going to perish forever. You see, there's going to be a future day of reckoning for every one of us. Every one of us. Jesus spoke of a judgment. I mean, it's not something that's open to debate. There are people who consider God's judgment as the most irrational and least anticipated thing in the world. But if they do speak about it, assuming something does lie beyond this life, is what they're thinking. They think of the afterlife of a continuation of the life that we're now living, or something better. R.C. Sproul spoke of what he's called the doctrine of justification by death. Protestants say justification is by faith alone. Catholics say it's by faith plus works. But today, many seem to think to get to heaven, all you have to do is die. Their thinking is you're justified by death alone. But if this is a moral universe, if it's created and ruled by a moral God, then there has to be a reckoning. Evil has to be punished. God's a holy God. He has to punish evil. In most theological books on eschatology, eschatology is Bible prophecy. It speaks of last things. There are three points of emphasis. The first point is the return of Christ. The second point is the resurrection of the body. The third point is the final judgment. Out of these three, the only one that is reasonable is that of judgment. You see, I mean, think about it. There's no reason why Jesus should return again. He came once and they rejected him. If he should write us off and never give a second thought to us, you know what? I got to admit, it would be understandable. Well, it's the same with the resurrection. Dust you are, and to dust you will return. I mean, if that's all there is, then we've had our lives. Why should we expect anything else? There's nothing logical in either of these two matters in and of themselves. But when it comes to judgment, it's the most logical thing in the universe. I mean, every story here in Matthew chapter 25 cries out the fact that there will be a final day of reckoning. You see, in this parable, the judgment is based on the use or misuse of the talents. What we've done for Christ. James 2, verse 14 to 17. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, oh, depart in peace, be warm, be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, does that mean we're saved by works only? No, it doesn't. Because no one can ever work their way to heaven. None of us are good enough. We all fall short of the glory of God, Scripture says. It does reveal the necessity of works following faith, if we're truly born again. There's an unbreakable connection between what we believe and what we do. The new nature, this born-again nature, doesn't manifest itself fully all at once. You don't become born-again believer and all of a sudden you know the whole Bible front to cover, cover to cover, front to back. It don't happen that way. But if we're justified, we'll have it. And it will increasingly express itself in faithful and loving service to our Master, our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not justified by works. If we are trying to be justified by works, then you know what? Bottom line is we're not Christians. We're not Christians. But neither can we claim to be Christians if we don't have works. What are you talking about, Rick? You're talking in circles. Well, if we're not working for Christ, then biblically we're not justified. When Jesus spoke of the men who were given talents by their master and who used them either wisely or not at all, he said one was given more than the other and one was given less. One had five talents, and he used them to gain five more. The second had two, and he used those two talents to gain two more. But the last servant was given only one. The last one was judged. But his judgment wasn't for having failed to gain as much as the other two servants who had been given more. He was judged for failing to use what he had. Are you guys following me? He was judged for hiding his talent in the ground. He didn't use it. You see, God's people will work. They'll use the talents God has given to them. But they won't all do it in the same way or to the same degree. There's different variations. The man who was given one talent and hid it in the ground, he explained that he had not done more because he knew his master's nature. The servant didn't know his master at all. The servant was only making an excuse. People do the same today. They use a theology of justification to excuse their failure to care for and minister to others. They use a knowledge of going to heaven to excuse their failure to evangelize. They use perseverance as an excuse for being lazy. The master told the servant, if he was right about his character, you know what? You should have worked harder then. If I'm a hard man, you should have worked harder then. Because if the master was hard, the servant should have labored even more to produce a profit for him. But the servant was wicked. He was wicked because of his unjustified slander and because the dude was lazy, which was the real reason why he never really grew to serve others. I've seen Christians like that. They're lazy. They don't want to do anything for anybody else. It's all about them. Here's the bottom line. You can get away with giving excuses to others. You could do that. But you and I will never ever get away with giving excuses to God. He's watching, man. He knows our hearts. I mean, there's not going to be one protester when Jesus takes the bench as judge. No one's going to be able to protest. The wicked servant thought he had done well. No doubt he was shaken to the core of his soul when he heard the words, cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Guys, listen to me. This will be the end for those who in their lifetime called out, Lord, Lord, but didn't do the things Jesus said. I mean, there's a gulf between heaven and hell, happiness and suffering, misery and the joy of those who are redeemed. In the parable of the talents, the faithful are invited to share their master's happiness. The wicked are cast into outer darkness. So it comes down to this. We have to use our new life in Christ, being a born-again believer, to work for Him while we still have the time. Any one of us could go home tonight. Any one of us could die by some means this week and go home. It's the only way we can prove that we are truly born again and that we truly love our Lord Jesus Christ. As in everything, to Him alone be all the glory and honor that's due Him, because we love Him. Father, we come before You and we thank You for this teaching on the talents. And God, I pray for each one of us that we would understand what Your word is saying to us. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to be working for You, God. And so, Lord, I pray the things that you've entrusted us with, what you've given to us. God, may we never bury them like this wicked, lazy servant did. We love you, Lord, and we just thank you for everything that you've done and what you are doing. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.